I'll not have a long message tonight because I want to just share some thoughts with you, and we want to have time for prayer. And if you would take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing our series on what real communion with God entails. And we spent a lot of time in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24 looking at the life of Enoch, and specifically the Hebrew word that's used there that indicates that word walk is the idea of fellowship, communion with. And we want to keep that in mind as we come now to Hebrews chapter 11, because we gain a little bit more information about Enoch in the New Testament. He's mentioned four times in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, we're even given a synopsis of a message that he preached. Not included in the Old Testament, but it's shared in the New Testament. If you read the book of Jude, you're given the content and a kind of an outline of what he preached and proclaimed before the Lord took him. But in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to draw your attention to verses 5 and 6, where we have Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam. And it says there, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. And then we're given something new in this whole thing about the relationship that led to God taking him to be with him. Notice, what does it say? That he what? Pleased God. That he pleased God. His life, his fellowship, his communion pleased God. Then we see the next verse that follows, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So verses 5 and 6 go together. They form a single paragraph. So you can't leave out verse 6 from understanding verse 5 in the context here. So what is the Lord saying about Enoch? Enoch believed God. Enoch, verse 6, believed that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. Now, is that not communion? Is that not fellowship? To diligently seek after God? We're told in Genesis 5 and verse 24 that Enoch did not begin this special communion phase of his life until after the age of 65. And from that point on, till 300 years were passed, he had this special relationship of walking with God. Walk with God. And then he was not, for God took him. In this passage in Hebrews, we find the phrase, and he was not found, for he was translated. They looked for him. By the way, he had children. The Bible names one of them. Anybody remember the name of his son? It's named in Scripture. He happened to live to be the oldest man, Methuselah. Yeah, he lived to be 969 years of age. But he spent most of those years without a daddy because his daddy was gone and they couldn't find him. We have no record that God ever shared with the family or with anyone else other than in the record of Scripture for us in the time of Moses. When Moses wrote the Scripture, what had happened to Enoch? He disappeared. That appears in several translations. He disappeared. He was not, for he was translated. He was not found. Now, there are three quick things that I want to share with you in this regard that stood out in my mind. Number one, this fellowship that Enoch and God had was in a communicative manner. They were able to communicate with him. By the way, the same walked is used of God when he came into the garden. He walked in the cool of the evening. He came into the garden, and it's the same word that's used here. that walking. Now, does God, who is Spirit, walk? Well, it's the idea He came to fellowship. He came to commune. Now, there are some people that say, well, there's no record in there that He ever did this before. This was probably the first time that He ever did that. But there's a time factor here that's shared. He came in the cool of the evening in Genesis, we're told, in chapter 2. And literally, in the time of the evening breeze. And in the Hebrew, it is given in a tense that indicates this time was something that was repetitive with God. He came at the time of the evening breeze. And so we get the understanding, and most scholars believe, that this was something that God did on a regular basis. He came to walk with Adam, and He came to walk with Eve. And then one night He came and they weren't there. They were hiding. Something had happened. What had been broken? Fellowship. Communion had been broken. He came to visit with them as His voice was heard. He moved in the garden, we're told. He came at this time, and they were not there. And He called out, Adam, where art thou? Now, did God know where He was? What was the purpose of saying that? It was to let them know He was there at the appointed time, and they were not. Something had been broken. This fellowship, this hithelek, as it's called in the Hebrew language, with God was a priority with Enoch. Do you have priorities in your life? You know how you can tell what someone's priority is? By what they spend most of their time doing. You can find out very quickly what somebody's priority is in their life. And we don't have to judge people or whatever, but you can find out very quickly what somebody's priority is by what they spend most of their time doing. And it comes out their familiarity with the Word of God, because if they spend little time, all they have is little snippets that they've memorized from the past, and the Word's not living in their heart. They're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit of God in the Word of God. But for Enoch, this was a priority. And God took him. Second thought, their communion was maintained and cultivated over this 300 years. What happens to a garden if you don't cultivate it and maintain it? Mrs. O'Pager, you know what happens to it. Yeah, it becomes a weed bed. It becomes a weed bed. How many of you love weeding? Thank you, Liz. You Random? You like weeding? Yeah. I see that commercial every once in a while with the guy with the fingernail clipper out there trimming his grass, and they said, some people just like doing things the hard way, you know? Yeah, and I've known people like that. Boy, they sit out there and they have these little hand clippers and they'll clip a little branch off, look at it, and then they'll reach over and clip a little bit more, you know. Now, they've got a relationship evidently with their plants to take that kind of care and patience. I'm the get the hedge thing out, start it up, I'm just running down through there, trimming it off. I want to get it done because that's not my favorite thing to do. But if you're going to have a decent garden, you have to weed, you have to feed, and you have to water. What do we call that? We call that cultivation, maintaining. For Enoch, this relationship was a priority that was maintained and cultivated in his heart and life. Nothing came between he and his Lord over a period of 300 years. How many of you think this is remarkable? It is. It's remarkable. I know in my own heart. This is remarkable. that he was able to do that. But we're told that there were other men who walked with God. We're told that Noah walked with God. We're told that Abraham walked with God. We're told that Adam and Eve walked with God. So there is this relationship that can be had with God, this communion and fellowship. And thirdly, think about this one. This communion was so significant that Enoch allowed God to determine his future and how long he stayed on this earth. Now, folks, this is touching. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Most of us want to stay here as long as we can. Most of the conversations that I have with people, I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon. Well, guess what? Should we plan to stay as long as possible, or should we plan for something that might happen? I think about Brother Ed Hicks at the funeral on Saturday for his wife of 40-something years and his daughter dying on the same day, side by side, in a car, snatched off into eternity. They didn't plan on that. They went to get coffee, and they were working their way back home, and a truck veers over into their lane, and their lives are snuffed out like that. But guess what? This happens all the time. Dr. Watt and I were traveling back today, and a car evidently lost control, went up an embankment, and you see parts of the car were left behind as it's going at a high rate of speed. Pieces had come off of it. The car was completely turned over upside down. The whole front of the car was gone. We don't know if the person survived or not, but it didn't look good, did it? It was awful. Somebody probably fell asleep as they were going. Enoch communed with his God in this way, that he let God determine when it was time to go home to be with God. This aspect, I think, is missing today. It's all about preserving life, every last minute, preserving the life. Instead of, Lord, what do you want? I've had people tell me, I don't want to die of cancer. I want to die any other way if possible. I don't want to die of cancer. And some of the people that have told me have died of cancer. Now, what should we do as believers in Christ? We should turn that over to the Lord, amen? Every how way he seems to do it. I don't know. I don't like particularly the idea of drowning. That's always been a thing. My mom never learned how to swim, and she had a fear of the water. And it wasn't until I was 10 years old that she allowed me to take swimming lessons. And my mom was so anxious about me being in the pool learning how to swim. Now, John Anderson was the instructor at that time, and he was a big man like that. He would sit there. I was so light. He would just sit there. I was 10 years old. He'd have one hand under my belly holding my body up. That's how skinny I was at the time. But he taught me how to swim, and after 2 weeks, I was jumping in, swimming, and having the time of my life. But I have had instances where I got down and somebody was holding me under and the panic kicked in. How many of you have ever experienced that? Yeah. It's real. You would not let me up. Except you don't say that because air will go out. So in your brain you're saying, let me go, let me go, let me go. There's that fear that is there. Now think about this, Christian. God's already told us our end. The possibility of the rapture and the reality of death. That's the thing that we know all the centuries past. There's nobody alive today on this earth that lived 150 years ago. They're all gone. I love watching old historical films from the past. I saw one last night from 1907. New York City, they colorized the film and they put the speed correctly. You know, in the old days they had those crank things, and so it looked like everybody was walking like this. No, they cleared that all up, and it looked normal. And it was like, wow, look at this. All colorized, and then it hit me. They're all gone. That little girl walking beside the mama's gone. Mama's gone. I think about all the people that I've known through the years that have passed on. They're gone now. Ed last night was sharing with us that Deborah's mother passed away. This is a couple of months ago, and they went to Atmore and had the funeral, and she's buried there in the cemetery there in Atmore, and they were remarking about all the people that they've been to funerals with and loved ones that were very dear to them, and said they're all gone now. So we were going through Mama's pictures, looking at Mama's pictures when she was young and the images that we have in our mind when she was younger, and then the image that's in their mind of laying in the casket. Now, that's frightening for us as human beings. That's frightening when this body ceases to function. But Enoch was said, you're going to come on with me. You're going to be translated. He trusted God to do something that he had never done before. We've never died. We've never been raptured. That's kind of a frightening thing, too, to be here 1 second and gone the next. Remember the old images that they always did about, well, there was an old film that we watched years and years ago, and it showed all the clothes laying, you know, all the pews, and all the clothes were laying in the pews and so forth like that. The rapture had happened, and there were people that were sitting there looking around, and all the clothes were there. I don't know how it's going to happen, how the Lord does that. But I do know this, that we've never been raptured before, and I've never died. So those are two unknowns. And how are we as human beings about unknowns? Now, what can solve this dilemma for us? This fear of death, or this lack of, I've never been raptured before. What's that all going to be like? Commune with God. Be so close to Him that the valley doesn't seem as dark and shadowy as it could be. To just be ready to go at any moment. Communion and fellowship with God changes your thinking about the future. We're all sitting here now, but let's go into the future 20 years. You would be 106 years old if you were still alive. Yep. And by that time, you see how tall this cane is right here? All right. Mr. O'Pager walks with a cane like this. At 106, it'd be like this, getting around.
Adjustable.
Actually, this would go bye-bye. Because somebody would be pushing him around, or he'd be driving one of those self-driving cars or whatever, all right? Now think about 20 years from now. You know, I will be 81 years old if the Lord tarries and live that long. Now, when I was a kid, 61, man, that was old. Yeah, thank you. My dad, when I got married, I was 28 years old when I got married. Dad was 58 at the time. My dad doesn't look a whole lot different than he did when he was 58, a little bit taller back then. He's kind of shrunk through the years. And I can only imagine how short I'm going to be whenever it's all said and done. I'll probably be 4 foot tall by the time. But you think about going into the future. And then the possibility that you may not be here in 20 years. What changes our thinking? Communing with God, where we just turn those matters over to Him. because I'm going to be fellowshipping with him here and I'm going to be fellowshipping with him there. I'm going to be communing with him here and I'm going to be communing with him there. Why is it that that interim, the valley of the shadow of death, scares us so where we don't even want to think about it? But the Bible says we should. We should be prepared. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That should have meaning for us. And for Enoch, it did. Now think about his family for just a moment. Think about their family that night. Dad doesn't come home. Would that be unusual? Here's Enoch. He doesn't come home to the tent at night. They've got their little fires going outside. Anybody seen Dad? Methuselah probably asked. Anybody seen Dad? No. Think about what that family went through that God allowed them to go through. It almost sounds contemporary, does it not? You know, Maria, who coached for me for many, many years, they never had the opportunity to say goodbye to her father. Her father had developed Alzheimer's, and one day they went over to visit him and he was gone. They looked for him for a year. They still don't have any idea what happened to him. Disappeared. And she will tell you, that was so hard. We had a memorial service for Dad 6 months after he left, not knowing where he was, if he had suffered, if he'd gone through that thing. And she told me at that time, I said, it was the Lord that helped me get through it. My siblings struggled, just couldn't believe that God would allow them to do, you know, he would allow that to happen. But she said the Lord was able to help her through that situation. Now, let me just say this. That family went through the passing of their father, the disappearance of their father, and were able to continue on. And Methuselah lives to be the oldest human being. You know what they call that in English writing? Irony. Yeah, irony. The man that disappeared has a son that lives to be the oldest. I think that was just a token of God's grace in his life. I want to conclude with this. The verb that's used here in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning this word pleased God is an interesting word in the Greek language. And it comes from the root word Eucharist, all right? It's the idea there of pleasing. And it has the thought there of God being pleased because our focus is on Him. Our focus is on Him. Now, I can't do anything to please God to earn salvation. Salvation is totally of Him. But what about after salvation? What should our focus be as believers in Christ? Just willy-nilly, just going through life, or fellowshipping with the one who saved my soul, who transformed my life, to spend time with Him and to make it a priority. Are you listening? To make it a priority. Now that's not works. That's not me performing something so that God's going to be pleased. It's simply desirous to spend time with my Lord. And by the way, that's what prayer is. Today, I was watching the president of our association, American Association of Christian Schools, was having prayer with the executive director. He has a set of twins, I believe. And one of them has a very serious, serious health situation. And I don't know, Adam, do we hear any more update on that? They'd been to the doctors, been to the hospital. I don't know what's going on with him. He's losing weight, and he doesn't have celiac disease. He doesn't have the common things. And the doctors, they don't know what's going on. This boy is a very athletic young man. Sports, plays sports. But now he can't play Because when he puts food in his mouth, nothing happens. He doesn't get any benefit from it. It's very, very sad. And I watched them, and I can only guess that he went to Brother Richard, because they're friends, and asked him to pray with him. Because this is a burden that's on his heart. It's his boy, his son. What is that? That's communing with God. And just sharing a special heartfelt need that we just want God to undertake. God to step in and reveal His power and His goodness and His graces if He so chooses. But also trusting the outcome, the future to Him. This is the beauty of communion, folks. It's growing to the point where I can just let God determine my future. I'm not going to put any things up with God. Lord, don't let me drown. Whatever it is, if I go out of here, I want to die in my sleep. I've heard people say that. I just want to die in my sleep. Or they'll comment when they hear somebody in the news that passed away and they'll say, that's the way I want to die. We can say those things, but in reality, you have no choice on ever, however God's going to take you out. And so we just need to commune with Him and fellowship with Him and be like Enoch to let Him determine. Enoch was, and then he disappeared. He was not. And his family had to deal with that, but he was in the presence of the Lord because communion and fellowship with Him was so special that whether walking on this earth or walking the streets of gold in heaven as a spirit, he enjoyed the presence of God, and we need to learn to do that as well.